In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. Our Messiah come. Christos Anesti. Every year I remind Melkites, and for those of you who are new, every year we have this reading from the Acts of the Apostles, and it was in Antioch, our church. It was in our church. The Antioch was a town, the largest town in the region of the Middle East, where the Roman government set up its see, its courts, and so forth. It's a town that is right on the border today. If you look at it, it's Antaki, and it sits right near the border of Turkey, modern-day Turkey and Syria. And there it was. It was in Antioch, where the disciples were first called Christians. Those are our people. Peter went to Antioch first before he went to Rome. So there it is, right there historically. Living in a first world country in the 21st century, oftentimes we read these various passages in the scriptures and they don't quite make a lot of sense to us. They don't quite have an impact on us. And today's passage is one of those. How many of us really have taken a few minutes to reflect on just the vital importance of water, and in particular a well? You know, if you didn't live near a river, you didn't live near a lake, you had to go find wells to dig to find water. It really is a matter of life and death. How many of us even have had that real experience where you are really thirsty? I mean, your body is shutting down because you're really thirsty. If you ever watched the movie Lawrence of Arabia, I'm sure there's other movies that capture this same sense, but there's a great scene in there because, you know, this is in the Middle East, and this is in regions where there was not a lot of water. Water was like precious, more precious than gold. And when there was a well sitting on a certain clan or tribe's land, that was their well. And you just couldn't drink from it if you wanted to. And there's a scene of this near the opening of the movie Lawrence of Arabia, where Lawrence himself is having a guide travel with him and lead him to find Faisal. And they had ran out of water along the way, and they come to this well. And so the guide leads Lawrence to the well, and they pull up the big pail and the leather pail, and they begin to drink. And on the horizon comes one of the caretakers of this land. And he sees them drinking. And he comes to the well, and the other man, the guide, knows, we violated the law, the common law. You don't drink from someone else's well without permission. So he goes for his revolver, and the Omar Sharif is the actor coming in, and he shoots dead the man. Lawrence, being an Englishman, doesn't understand this way of life here, and he's shocked. And so when this man, all garbed in black, comes finally and he can see him, Lawrence is saying, "You murdered a man because he was drinking water." And the man says, "That's our well, and his family's not welcomed here." And there's a point where the character says, "This well is worth more than that life." Water. We don't really grasp the importance of water. We take it for granted because we live in a first world country where clean running water is but a turn of the faucet and it runs. You can go take a shower when you're hot and sticky and muddy and dirty, right? We don't value water and realize the importance of water. But in the scriptures, water really is a metaphor and physically a matter of life and death for people. As I said, it was more precious than gold. When I was pastoring in Boulder a few years ago, Sacred Heart of Mary Parish was one of the first settlements, was one of the first buildings out there and established in the mid-1800s before most anybody else was there. And it has water rights. And I came to learn in an area where there's very little water, I came to realize how important water rights are. Water rights in Colorado are worth more than gold, literally, up there. You don't sell your water rights because it's a matter of life and death. And this is the backdrop of today's powerful gospel passage that I think we too often just run by and run over. We don't really get what's going on here. We miss the real depth of what our Lord is saying to this woman in the conversation they're having and what this woman is going through. Already last Sunday, with the Sunday of the Paralytic, we began to get introduced to the whole theme of water. And then, as I mentioned, it would happen, it would become the main theme from this past Wednesday, which is the Feast of Mid-Pentecost. You heard the Troparion today. Quote, give my thirsty soul to drink from the waters of true worship. For you called out to all men, whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. End of quote. The analogy the Lord is using, the analogy the church is using. You want believing in the Lord Jesus the Christ is a matter of life and death. That's what we're being told today. That's what we're being taught today. And living in a consumerist society, do we the baptized, thirst for the river of life called Jesus of Nazareth? That's the question today for you and me to answer. Benedict XVI wrote it several years ago that too many Christians today live as atheists. Oh, they profess on Sundays they believe. They say they're a Christian, but the way they live their lives, they live as atheists. Do you and I thirst for the living waters? Do we place a high priority on the Lord's day? Do we place a high priority on the liturgy? Do we place a high priority on attending Vespers on Friday evenings or Saturday Orthros? As we talked about on Friday night, there's something different. When we are together as the church, when the church is assembled, we talked about this on Wednesday and Friday night in the catechesis. When the church is assembled, it's just, and you hear the word of God, it's more powerful than when you're reading the Word of God by yourself at your home. Yes, that's beautiful. It doesn't come near the power of the living Word when it's preached and read and proclaimed in the midst of the church. That is where the Scriptures is supposed to be proclaimed first and foremost. Among the living, the baptized in the church. So on Great Vespers and on Vesper nights, we pray, we hear the liturgy in the Word of God. It's dynamic. Do you place a high priority on your prayer life, your personal prayer life? Do you set time every morning and every evening to be with God in prayer? Even, yes, maybe you're working really hard. You have family obligations. But can you at least take 5 minutes if your day is so exhausting and so busy? You really don't even have 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the evening to take a few minutes. Are you reading your scriptures? Are you reading church fathers? Do you thirst for the living God who's ready to quench your thirst? That's the question for today. That Samaritan woman, the tradition has come to call her Saint Fotini, the illuminated one, because she was enlightened in this encounter with our Lord, God, Savior, Jesus Christ. Fotini, that's what it means. She did have a genuine thirst. And she experienced it every day in her life. What is more, this is a woman who had to labor strenuously to find a cup of water every day. In fact, it was for her really a life and death experience. What would happen if she didn't go out to that well one day to get the water? What would happen if that well happened to dry up one day? What would happen if some marauders came by one day and poisoned that water, which was quite common back then? It was a matter of life and death for these people. And it is into this situation that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, came. He came to a woman, a Samaritan woman in a town called Sychar. And there was that well-known well called Jacob's Well. And it was in the heat of the day, the heat of the day, as he sits down, and all of a sudden a woman in the heat of the day approaches to get her water, which of course was not normal. Women went out in the morning to get the water, and they would sit there and mingle and talk and fill because it was cool. Only the outcast women went when there were no other women there. And what does our Lord do? He shocked the woman. He astounded her because he spoke to her. He spoke to a woman in public, not only that, a woman of ill repute. And he says, give me a drink. Give me a drink. What John the Apostle records in this encounter are some of the most profound insights in the entire gospel. All about God, the human person, and worship. This is it. This particular dialogue is filled with the most important things about the Christian faith. God, the human person, and liturgy. What we see going on here first is a God who thirsts for the human person. Did he not say from the cross, I thirst? And he wasn't talking about the gall and the vinegar that they were going to give him to help alleviate the pain. I thirst for human hearts. And number two, what we see going on here is that the human person thirsts for God. St. Augustine said it so well. Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. And what will God do because he thirsts for you and me? We see it in today's gospel passage. He will go to where you and I are. He will wait there. He will wait until you come to meet him there. Because he thirsts for you and me. And then what does our Lord do? He begins a conversation. And the conversation is a normal conversation. It begins that normal way when God encounters us. When he encounters that woman, what does she do? She's evasive and she's hostile. She's evasive and she's hostile. She's defensive. She's dismissive. And she's sarcastic. But the God who thirsts for the human heart persists. He patiently endures to the point that the unavoidable question is finally asked. What is the true place of worship? Where and in what way do we encounter the living God? My brothers and sisters, that is the only question in life that matters. What is the right way to worship? Every martyr died for that question and for that answer. And the Lord responds, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Where then is this place of right, true worship? Where is right liturgy? Where does the human person finally slake his or her thirst once and for all? The woman said it. Fotini said it. Give me this water that I might not thirst anymore, not have to come to this well anymore. That's the human desire. Fill my thirst. And our Lord answered her, quote, he who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but the water I give, you will never thirst again. There will be a fountain of water springing up to eternal life. On the day of the resurrection, a river sprung forth and it began to water all of creation, giving drink to a creation that was dying. During Bright Week, I took the time to watch the movie Ben-Hur. If you haven't seen it in a while, if you've never seen it, go watch the movie. There's a great scene in there about this very image of the water. When Christ dies on the cross, all of a sudden the heavens open and there's that deluge of water coming down, the rains just pouring down. And it begins to puddle around the cross of Christ, and his blood is pouring in, just streaming down into that water. And oh, the director does it so well. He gets a picture of that water. And what does that water begin to do? The water is touched by the blood of Christ. Begins to flow out of off of Golgotha, off the hill. And it begins to flow into the very city of Jerusalem. And it begins to flow into the rivers and into the lakes. And it begins to flow out into the world. What's it doing? It's giving life to a world that was dying because of sin and death. It's making a new heavens and a new earth. It's making a new heavens and a new earth. And in every liturgy, I keep saying it, this river of life is flowing out into the world, into our hearts, and into the world. We're taking wood, we take bread, we take oil, we take wine. And the blood and water of Christ is touching all of it, all of creation, and making it new. It's touching everything and making it incorruptible. The river of life is bringing down the walls of death, bringing down the walls of separation, and it's giving life in communion. It's making a new heaven and a new earth. After 5 marriages and then finally living with a 6th man, that woman who did not find what she was looking for, one day finally found her thirst satisfied. And she left behind her jar, she left behind that well. And what did she do? What you and I should be doing. She went out and told people, come and see the man. Come and see the prophet. Come and see the Messiah. Because he satisfied my thirst. Christ is risen.